Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service. I've got a new song for you today, How Great Is Your Love. Psalms 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. Let's all stand and let's sing about His love. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
From the darkness, I called Your name. Into darkness, Your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is Your love. For my weakness, You took my shame. Buried my burdens in fields of grace. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is Your love. From the heights of heaven, You stepped down to earth. In His sun perfection, gave Your life for us. We are amazed, we stand in awe, for we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great is Your love. How great is Your love. How great is Your love for us.
In Your kindness, You lead me home. In Your presence, where I belong.
You called me out, lifted me up. How great is Your love. You step down to earth in its sun perfection, gave Your life for us. We are amazed, we stand in awe, for we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great is Your love. How great is Your love for us. How great is Your love for us.
There has never been, there will never be, a God like You, a love so true. There has never been, there will never be, a God like You, a love so true. There has never been, there will never be, a God like You, a love so true. There has never been, there will never be, a God like You, a love so true. How great is Your love. How great is Your love. How great is Your love for us. How great, how great. is your love for us.
Amen. You may be seated. You come bearing gifts, looks like.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all these dads. If you are a father, would you stand up or raise your hand, and I'm going to have some of these youth kids come up here and pass out these pens.
Do you have an announcement?
Well, it's 3 weeks. Can you believe it? You know, actually, if we had stuck with our original date, it would be today. And I'm so thankful that it's not today because we are not ready. We need you this Wednesday night. If you can paint, whether it's just big paint brushes or details, we need you. If you can attach a table skirt to a roof, we need you. If you can roll straws out of newspaper, and I won't pretend to know how to do that, but Becky will show you how. If you can just sit at a table and roll straws, she needs thousands of straws. We need palm trees made. We need a waterfall made. We need a volcano made. Please, I need you. So if you can please be here Wednesday night at 6, I will try to have as much of this lined out and as many jobs figured out that you can do. I would greatly appreciate it. We also need some newspapers to roll the straws. We have a few. I don't think she has enough. I think she still needs them. So if you have newspapers, or we may go by the newspaper office and see what we can find there. So thanks so much. We're excited. We just need to get this kind of wrapped up. So thanks so much. See you Wednesday.
Anyone else have any announcements? Nope. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the godly men that are in this church that show us younger men how to be and these kids. God, thank you for all the fathers we have in our lives, our real ones and our not. God, thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, I pray you watch and protect us, and let's have a great day and the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you. Let's all stand as we sing, No, Not One. One, two, three, four.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. so high and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide you the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No, not so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No.
This is my Father's world. One, two, three.
This is my Father's world, and to
next song is called Run to the Father. Some of us that still have fathers, especially the younger kids, we can run to our earthly father, but some of us don't have that opportunity. And but you know what? There's still good news, because we got a heavenly father that we can always run to no matter what. He takes us as we are. He does not care where we've been, what we're doing. He just wants us to live for him. This is called Run to the Father.
too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Well, I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the honey. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again.
good, good Father.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I'm no. We're all searching for. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. 'Cause you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. Just voices. You are so good.
God a hand this morning. Let's all be seated.
An offering this morning.
One of our men will come and ask the blessing.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you for this time of worship. And we ask that you bless this offering. Make it go further than we can ever imagine. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for our fathers. And we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us this morning through Brother Lanny. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Have a presentation to make this morning. Jonna, are you here? You come and join me up here. Jonna has asked Jesus into her heart as Savior, followed the Lord in believer's baptism, became a member of Osage Baptist Church, and we're very glad to have you. Now I get a hug part of this. Amen. If you're involved in children's church, we're going to allow you to do that right now. We are going to try something new on Sunday nights, and at least for the next 6 weeks, not starting tonight, but starting next Sunday night and have a little introduction to that I want you to watch right now.
Welcome to a story full of drama, uncertainty, fear, and victory. It's the story of the life of Joseph and how his detours, the ins and outs that God took him through toward his destiny, relate to you and relate to me. Because when God wants to take you somewhere, he doesn't take you in a straight line. He moves and meanders you through the ups and downs and ins and outs, the good and bad of life's reality, so that when you arrive there, you're ready for the arrival. Everyone loves a story. Do we have a story for you?
That'll start next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And if you've not signed up for a book, we need you to do that. And there's a sign-up list at the in the foyer at the back. And if you've not signed up, we'd like to see you do that. We've got a good group already signed up, and we'll order the rest of those books in the morning and have those hopefully by next Sunday night. And I've gone through the first session. I believe that it will be fantastic for anyone. And I want to urge you to take part of that. Marlene, it sure is good to have you back with us today after your hip replacement. She's just dancing up those steps. Take your Bible and turn first of all to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and then hold your finger there and move over to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Have you got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Let's stand together. And we're going to start with Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You may be seated. I have been accused in the past of being real gentle with the mothers on Mother's Day and being real harsh with the fathers on Father's Day. This is from a little different angle. We're going to talk about raising kids, and when you think about fatherhood, that's what it's about, raising kids. I said a couple of Sundays ago that you never do get your job done. You're always raising your kids. And then you're raising your, or helping raise your grandkids. There's going to be times that you'll need to keep quiet and let your kids do their job. And then we move into being great grandparents. Gwen and I are experiencing that now. We have 8, 7, and 1 going to be born just any day. Great-grandchildren, 16 grandchildren. And I've read quite a bit in these last few days about fatherhood and being grandparents. And you've heard this already, but a lot of grandparents are of the belief now that they've got grandchildren that if they had known how good this was to have grandkids, that they would have had them first and had the kids some other time. We're living in impossible times. We're living in very, well, maybe I shouldn't have used that word, but we're living in very difficult times. Very difficult time to be raising kids, for sure. But the church ought to have the answer. And whether or not the church has the answer, the Bible has the answer to raising kids. When you turn your television on the news channel and you see these teenagers that are out of control, I would bet they don't have a father in the house. They might have a man, but they don't have a dad most of the time. Now, I'm sure that there are some exceptions to every rule, but most of the time they don't have a dad in the house. It's a great big job. I'm going to talk about that job some today, and mostly about discipline and how important that is. It's not just important in the lives of our children, it's important in our own lives and how God disciplines us, how He sets us in the right, on the right track in our lives, and how He sometimes He woos us, the Bible says, with cords of love. At other times, He disciplines us to move us back into the position that we need to be on. I remember my brother telling me a story about one of the guys that he works with, a young man, had told him, he said, every time me and my dad have one of those father and son talks, he said, I end up looking up at the stars. Now, I'm not sure that's the way you should discipline your children. I'm pretty sure it's not. So I want us to talk about that. But I want us to understand for sure that children without discipline will grow up to be thugs. And so you and I have to make a decision as a dad how we're going to do that. The Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. And that's exactly what has happened so many times in the society in which we live. They've been left to raise themselves. Gwen and I have experienced that through this last two or three years taking in foster kids, that many of them were accustomed to taking care of themselves, raising themselves. And then when they've been used to raising themselves and then you start putting down guidelines, you run into trouble on both sides. And you just have to keep that guideline down, and pretty soon they'll come to it. And sometimes it takes quite a deal. This deal of abortion, just to not do your job, is one of the worst decisions that our nation could possibly have ever made. And I don't know, it makes me think, and I know we're too old, but it makes me think, just bring them all to us. If you're going to kill them, bring them to us. It's an awful decision for our society. This statement was written by the Minnesota Crime Commission several years back, but it's still true today. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is complete, or she is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants, and he sees with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, or a rapist. The Bible agrees with that, by the way. And it tells us that every child needs discipline. So I had thought about two different titles for this message. One would be In Search of a Father. The other would be To Train a Savage. And if you have raised children, or if you're in the throes of raising children right now, that might be just a little bit comical, but at the same time, we know that it is true that they have to have, children have to have guidelines, and this is the job of the father and the mother. I believe that discipline lays more on the shoulders of the father than it does the mother, but most of the time the father, he doesn't want to do his job, and so he leaves it in the hands of the mother. Now, some of you that have already raised your kids probably know more about what I'm talking about here. Some of you are experiencing it right now. But it would always really aggravate me when I would come in from work or whatever, and Gwen would give me the job of discipline one of the kids that had done wrong. You're going to have to go take care of this. And I didn't want to. And I'd say, well, why didn't you just do it? No, you do it. It's your job. I never did like to. I always did what I was supposed to do, I think. But it was always very difficult. I always felt like to do it right then. So let's look at this. Fathers and mothers, know your child. Every child is different. And so in order to do that, in order for us to know, and it's the same way with if you're a mentor to a child, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're an Awana worker, if you're playing some kind of part in that child's life, the only way that you and I can do a good job is that we have to know the kid. And the only way that we can know the kid is to spend time with your child. Listen to his or her words, their likes and their dislikes. Now, we experienced something a little different through the taking care of foster children. And sometimes we would get someone to babysit for us, and sometimes people would volunteer to babysit for us so we could go out. And one of the things that we had never done before in our life when we were raising our kids, we got babysitters sometimes, and when we went out, we hurried back so we could let the babysitters go. when we were getting people to, folks were volunteering to keep the foster kids for us, we'd stay out as long as we could. We'd try to find stuff to do. I'm just telling them that now because we don't have foster kids now for you to. Every child's different. You have to spend time with them. Some will need more spankings than others. Will just require talking to. In one article that I read, biblical discipline is correction, the writer says, and that means that the pattern of the child's behavior must be changed by instruction and righteousness. He must be shown the error of his ways and then directed to the proper path. This requires explanation and instruction. Biblical discipline demands words. I think it demands words, but it also demands at some point a spanking, perhaps. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, look at this verse with me. And by the way, I'm going to finish this tonight. If you're looking at your notes and thinking this guy is never going to get done, I am going to finish it tonight. There's lots of information here. I love doing this, by the way. Verse 24 of Proverbs 13 says, "He that spareth his rod," in the King James, what's that next word? It's hate. Hates him. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Well, it comes right out of the Bible. He that spares the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. sometimes I change that word on the end and put behind on it. But it literally means, that last word means early. Doing it early. Start the correction early. The person who says, "I love him too much to spank him," no. You love yourself too much to spank him or her that needs it. It describes two types of parents, the one that loves himself or herself, and the other loves the child. Do it early. The Amplified Bible, where the King James uses the word betimes, in the Amplified Bible it uses the word diligently. Be diligent about it. Don't let it pass. Take charge. A refusal, the Message Bible says a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the Bible tells us that the Lord intervenes in our lives through His discipline. One of the ways that I see the Lord intervening and using discipline in our lives is exposure. He exposes us. And we've discovered that through our own children and through the foster care program that God would expose the child's sin to us sometimes, that we would know what was going on. We had a foster child once that had a problem stealing, It was taught that at home, and in the home that it came from, it was taught stealing. You go to the grocery store, you get whatever you can get in your pockets, and get away with it. But we began to talk about that the Bible says not to do that, but it was a long process. We had to go back to the store sometimes and take the stuff back and give an apology. Let the child give an apology. and work our way through those things. Sometimes God would just show us that this or that had taken place. There needs to be a proper balance of correction. Here's another article on abuse and versus discipline. And the author says, abuse is unfair, extreme, and degrading. Abusive actions are unduly harsh, unnecessarily long, and totally inappropriate. If we drag our children's feelings through the mud and kick them when they're down, then we're being abusive. The result is soiled self-esteem and scars that often last a lifetime. Actions like that are not discipline, they're abuse. And abuse doesn't grow out of love. It stems from hate. Discipline is fair, fitting, and upholds the child's dignity. Discipline is built on a foundation of justice. Loving discipline isn't capricious or anything else. So the child should have a good idea of the punishment that will be meted out if parental boundaries are willingly and definitely violated. This form of correction strengthens rather than shatters the child's self-worth. Discipline is rooted in proper motivation, love, and genuine concern, not in anger or expedience. What's handy for me? Because the child has embarrassed me, I'm going to get even with him. It's the wrong way. It's the wrong motive. We can crush a child through the wrong kind of discipline, or we can crush a child through lax discipline, either way. We're to shape the child. Wrong discipline or abuse crushes the will of the child. On the other hand, loving discipline shapes his will. Look over in Proverbs again at the 15th chapter. Back up just a little bit from where you are, from where you were. 15, look down at verse 13. A merry heart maketh cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And we have to be very cautious that we do not break the child's spirit in any kind of discipline. Even a Sunday school teacher that has to do some correction, even those of you that work in Awana have to have some correction. Those of you that drive the vans have to have some form of correction. I heard about two little boys, two little brothers that went to church for the very first time. And we experienced some of this in Awana for sure. Kids that have never been to church before and they have to be taught, this is how we act here. These two little boys had went to church for the first time. They ended up in different Sunday school classes. And the older brother was cocky, kind of a smart aleck. And the teacher said, as she was talking to the class, if they knew where Jesus was now, and asked the new little boy if he knew where Jesus was now, and he said, I don't know and I don't care. Well, boy, it upset that Sunday school teacher, and she took him and his little brother and took him down to the pastor's office, talked to the pastor and told what had went on. And the pastor asked the same question to the little boy. And he said, you smart aleck with your teacher, and she just asked you where Jesus was. And he said, well, I don't know, and I don't care. And the pastor stood up. About the time he stood up, the little boy rushed out the door and grabbed his little brother, and they took off running down the street as hard as they could go. And the little boy just kept jerking on his brother's arm, finally got him stopped and said, why are we running? He said, they've lost Jesus, and some way they think it's our fault. We've got to be cautious in our discipline and have to put it in the right perspective. We sure don't want to crush. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's sometimes a child just does, not because they're trying to be unruly. They just do what kids do. And so you and I have to be real cautious that we don't correct over just being a kid. I've made so many awful mistakes in raising our kids when I should have been thinking that this is just what a kid does. But we never had raised any kids before, so we didn't know about it. I knew I didn't want to be like my dad. And I was pretty sure that I didn't want to correct the way my mother had corrected. She kept the peach tree pruned with the green limbs, giving me and my brother. I'm sure we needed every one of them. But I knew there was some other way. But I've made lots and lots of mistakes. And I think that if I had read the Scripture more and studied more in the Scripture about correction, that perhaps I would have done a better job. I'm going to quit here pretty quick. One thing that I would correct if I had it to do over is that I would have never, ever corrected my kids when I was mad. I would have always saved that discipline till later if I had it to do over. Now, as far as I know, they all still love me, and they've wished me Happy Father's Day and all that. But I've made lots of mistakes with that. I never disciplined them in public, but I have disciplined them when I was mad, and I never should have done that. I remember one incident with a foster child. I don't know if y'all remember Ryan or not. Is that the right name? O'Ryan. Consolation. But he was hard to deal with, and he had a lot of trouble with the truth. As far as I know, he wasn't a thief, but he had a lot of trouble telling the truth, and that just made him a little different than some of them that we had kept. But I was looking for something in the barn, and he was following me. And there was a fire extinguisher sitting there in the floor. And he just picked it up and pulled the stem out of it and squeezed it. And it just exploded all in the barn. Fire extinguisher stuff, that smoke and powder and stuff just went everywhere. And because of my experience with children and me being a professional, I did exactly the right thing. I said in the loudest voice that I could muster, "What, are you crazy?" And so now, it has, the situation has changed. As I looked at it later on, the situation has changed. Now it's not over exploding the fire extinguisher. It is now he's troubled with whether or not he's crazy or not. You'll make a lot of mistakes. But if you will take the Word of God and follow the Word of God, you'll be headed in the right direction. I'm going to take up here tonight. Let's stand together, and Mike, if you'll come and help us, and Monica. The most important decision that you can make as a father is your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important decision that you can make, whoever you are. A child, a young adult, an older adult, whoever you are. The most important decision that you can make is to receive Christ as your Savior. The most important thing that you can do in your life, in the life of your child, is for them to see Jesus in you. And for them to see you walking the walk every day of your life. If you're here today and not a Christian, I want to urge you to make that decision for Christ, and urge you to step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and just by your coming, say, "Brother Lenny, I want to be saved today. I want to ask Jesus into my heart today." Maybe you're here and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship by baptism. If you've never been scripturally baptized, by transfer of your letter, whatever God's dealing with your heart to do. Maybe it's a recommitment on your part. We'll give you an opportunity to make that decision right now. As we sing, you come.
I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior.